Can I hear amen? Amen. All right. What else? I hope I wanted to get all those things away and then. Good. Today is communion service. And so I'm beginning, before we move into the spirit of Christmas, because we are in November, Christmas is just at the corner, and so many things happen. People do different things. There was a sad story. I don't know if some of you listen to the news. I think there was a concert or something that happened. A lot of young people, you know, were there. Was it last night? And then some people lost their lives. Like right now, and when I was coming and listening to the news, I think, you know, yeah, I heard the news. I think 12 people are in the hospital right now. One or two people have died. You know, just at a concert, right? Young people gathering there. How many people? Oh, 8 people died. What? 8 people? Wow. Wow, that should have, they should be in church. Yeah. Can you imagine where we come to church and the church is so packed that people start fainting in our church? No, we need a revival. Yeah, even if you die, at least die at church. Yeah. No, now that, no. You see, when I hear some of these things, like the news and so on, you know, I become very sad. You know, it lets me know that there's more work to be done. Yeah, we have a lot of work to do as the body of Christ, as believers, as Christians. What is it about those things? The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And you know the way out of that is for us as the body of Christ, as believers, to wake up and live like Christ. Yeah, live like Jesus. Don't let some of us, we live like churchgoers. No, we live like denominational people. You know, for me, I'm Assemblies of God. Assemblies of God is the way we do it. And then me, I'm a Methodist. Me, I'm a Baptist. Me, I'm a this. Me, I'm that. And that's the way we do it. But let us be like Christ. You know, that is what will bring a change. Most of these young people, they want to see real life lived out. They want to see people who are genuine, people who are true, people who are honest, people who are sincere, people who are transparent, people who do not say one thing and do another thing. They want to see parents who are upfront with whatever they're doing. They want to see true character in life. They just don't want to see people who are just shouting and screaming and praying and then doing diabolical things. Like, they want to see the real thing, the real deal, the genuineness, the authenticity in the lives of people. They want to see us live the way we believe it is. Like, live by the word of the living God. If we live like that, I'm sure the world will change. Jesus said, if I be lifted up higher, I will draw all men. Maybe we are not lifting up Jesus enough. But I think that God has brought us here into this world as immigrants to let Canada know that Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the light of the world. It's not about the things, it's not about development and advancement, but it is about faith in Christ. That is the difference maker. So I'm here this morning just to launch our new sermon series that I've captioned, Love Like Jesus. Because it's communion, I want us to look at love. Those who love like Jesus, they love the communion service. You know, they love the communion service because of two major key things. There are so many things, but first of all, because of the power of the communion service. You see, when I talk about power, it's not like raising the dead, casting out devil, even though all that is encompassed. But what is so unique about the coming of the Lord, the sacrifice of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, the ascension of Jesus, and then the work that Jesus is doing right now. The Bible says he's standing at the right hand side of the Father, interceding for you and for me. Jesus, that's what he's doing, expecting that his time will come for us to go and meet with him. Now, it's not just about, when we talk about living like Jesus, loving like Jesus, it's not just like living anyhow, okay, and then one day when you die, you go to heaven. One time, Peter came to Jesus and said, Jesus, look, we have left everything and we are following you. What shall become of us? Look at what Jesus said. Jesus said, there is no one, there's no one who has left mother, father, brothers, sisters, nephew, cousins, houses, buildings, everything, and followed me. That, look at what Jesus said. that in this world will not have 100 times a meeting of the need. And then in the world to come, you have eternal life. If you're a young person and you have your faith in Christ, it doesn't make you lazy. It doesn't stop you from becoming productive. It doesn't stop you from becoming creative. It doesn't stop you from becoming innovative. It doesn't stop you from becoming a billionaire or trillionaire or quadrillionaire. It doesn't stop you from becoming that. But you know what will help you make a difference is when you have faith in God, and by your faith in God, you gain the understanding and you create the wealth so we can use the wealth to advance the cause of God's kingdom. I mean, I have a dream. You know, it's not a dream. Look, the Humber Summit community, we need to pull all these things down, turn this place around. If you think about the next 25 years, people will be driving electric cars to church. No. It's electric cars. It's just the next 5 years, the next 2-3 years. So when we are building a church, we should build a place and get some electric charging centers. Like the car parks, you have charging centers. Now begin to dream. I don't know whether some of you had the news like that. Believers are creating some dangerous wealth to help advance God's kingdom. Can you imagine what believers can do? Can you imagine if one of you young people here, if you had come up with Facebook? Can you imagine where we would have been by now? If one of you, well, even if one of you are enrolled in the basketball team, Raptors. The NBA. Like one of you plays for Raptors. With your nickname, I love Jesus at the back. Anytime you score 3 points, like keep playing 3 points, and then you turn your back and it's I love Jesus. Can you imagine that? No, these are some of the things. Look, I'm here to challenge and encourage you. Where we can make our testimonies known is out there. And this is your generation. This is your time. This is your season. So depend on God the Holy Spirit. Last time I was talking to you about one of the ladies I was listening to who came up with the ARC Foundation, the ARC Investment Funds, the ETF, the lady. What's her name? Something Wood. I forgot the name. Google the name. Some of you are good. Google it. They were interviewing her. This is secular broadcast, interviewing her and asking, look, aren't you afraid that your investment will collapse or will crash or something? Aren't you afraid? Like, look at the way Tesla was. For 5 years, Tesla was doing nothing. Weren't you afraid? And listen, they were asking this woman, this is secular station, YouTube, Facebook, and this woman said, no, I was calm. They said, why? What role does your faith play in your investment? And she said this clear, and I heard it clear. He said, look, the Holy Spirit told me, that's why I left all those big hedge funds and I started my investment company. I started this one, and we are breaking grounds. Why? Because the Holy Spirit led him. Who told you that the Holy Spirit cannot reveal something to you? Who told you that the Holy Spirit does is for you to just feel some goosebumps and then feel healed and then feel good? No, the Holy Spirit is a person. He speaks, he reveals, he knows the future. The world is his. He is the one who guides and leads and directs us. So allow him to lead you. Why? We lead like Jesus. If you lead like Jesus, you cannot live your life without God, the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, Jesus would have done nothing, absolutely nothing. I'm here to challenge and to encourage you. There are two things: the power of the communion. Those who love like Jesus, they love the communion. Look at Luke chapter 22, verses 14. The Bible says, when the hour came, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table. Scripture declares, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds its fulfillment in the kingdom of God. He's revealing something to us. Pause. Look at my face. Let me draw something to you. Like in the Jewish world, where Jesus was, okay, when the word kingdom, the kingdom of God is mentioned, like we know Jesus said, my kingdom is here, my kingdom is in you, my kingdom is coming. So the kingdom is now and then not now. During the time that Jesus lived, there were things that were people that were ruling. First of all, Satan, demons, powers of darkness were ruling. So you realize that Jesus' time, he cast out demons, cast out devils. Okay, so there's a world where Satan is ruling. So he has his kingdom, he rules and controls people. Two, there are political leaders. During Jesus' time, it was the Romans who were ruling and were very hard and tough and difficult. Okay, so the Jewish people had this kind of end time event, which theologically we will call eschatology. Eschatology is nothing. It's the story of the end time, like the way they think about the redemption that is going to come. All right, so Jesus said, I will come. Paul was saying, you know, the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will rise, and then those of us who are alive will be caught up with him, will be with the Lord. Like, people are looking at a time where they will be freed from these controls of this world. But Jesus comes and says, look, the kingdom of God is not just only in the future, but the kingdom of God is now and here. What does it mean? It means you are living here in this world where Satan rules, where demons rules, where principalities rules, where there's powers of darkness, where sin rules. At the same time, we have politicians that are ruling, like whether it is liberal or conservatives or whatever it is, they are politicians. Those powers also exist. But in the midst of this and that, there is the kingdom of God. What does that mean? It is the reign of Christ, the reign of God, individuals who have given themselves their heart to God, where even though they live between these two worlds, it is God who is leading, God who is guiding. So the word of God is their guiding principle. The Holy Spirit is the one who is leading them. God's word is what guides them, whether they'll do business or they'll handle money or they will marry, whatever they'll do, they are guided not by the things that the world is doing, nor the laws and the legislation that have been enacted by the politicians over the power that exists. But even though they are in this world, they are not of this world. Now, are you getting the point? So it is the word of God that guides you. It is the word that leads you. It's the Holy Spirit that guides you, that tells you. So your when it comes to money, it is what God says. Are you getting the point? So Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is in you. It's here. It is the reign and the rule of God. Who is ruling in your life? Who is telling you what to do? Are you getting the point? I'm not teaching about the kingdom of God, but I think I'll have to pick up a new series when we move into 2022 and then talk about the kingdom of God and break them down for you. But I just wanted to just make that clarification that, look, it is not just a place where we are waiting to go, but it is who we are, what we have, that is carrying us to where we are going. So it is both now and then. The kingdom of heaven. I pray in the name of Jesus that in this life and in this world, we will allow God's word to lead and rule in our hearts and lives, especially when it comes to loving, so that people around you will know that Jesus is Lord. That is the challenge we have. Don't fight with anybody. Don't condemn anybody. I mean, the sin will continue. People will do whatever they want, like gays, lesbians, LGBTQ, Z, more will come, like W, whatever. But if you believe that the kingdom of God is in you, let the world see it, period. Those who love God and love it that way and live by the kingdom of God, they love the communion. Look at verse 17. It says, after taking the cup, the Bible says, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. So you see, he's talking about the kingdom now, the kingdom not yet. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Take note of that. 20. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Look at the way Mark puts it. While they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take it, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. He said to them, truly, I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Now, the Bible says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And we know what happened. Matthew chapter 26, the Bible says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. Like, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Just take note of that. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. See, so Jesus believes strongly that he's leaving them here to live the kingdom life, and he's going to be with them, continuing with the kingdom life. May that be your portion. The Bible says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Shall we pray? Spirit of God, we thank you for today. Speak to us, O Lord. Reveal yourself to us in a fresh way. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and bless you. May we be lovers, O God, of you. May we live this life just loving like Jesus, living like Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord's Supper, which is also known as the Eucharist, depending upon where you are coming from, or Holy Communion. All right. It's a sacrament. It's a holy thing that we do of the body and of the blood of Jesus. Okay, so the sacrament of communion with Christ and participation in his risen and the ascended sacrifice. Look, so when we come to the communion service, it's reminding us, okay, of what Jesus has done for us, his sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice that he paid. I like a general definition of the word communion in the English language, which says it this way. It says, it's the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings. So when you are communicating, when you are talking to somebody, it's not just words, okay? Especially when the exchange is on a mental or spiritual level. So this is communion. You are engaging with a person. But when it comes to the communion specifically, is the service of the Christian worship. So a part of our worship, with the bread and wine are consecrated and they are shared commonly among us, okay, as we celebrate the Lord. Very important. You look at what Jesus did. I think there's a picture there where Jesus is celebrating the communion with his disciples. But this morning, we just want to look at the power of the communion, not as you think. So the first thing, those who love God, okay, who love like Jesus, they love the communion, the time of the communion. Why? Because of the power of the communion. Not as you think, but what do I mean? It provides the communion, the coming of the Lord Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus provides us with a Christ-like mindset. You see, it changes our minds. Okay, the world has a way of thinking, but the communion of the coming of the Lord grants unto us, produces in us a Christ-like mindset. What is that? First of all, produces in us a mind of respect for all in Christ. That's the first thing. Look at what the Bible says. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Okay, this one is in Galatians chapter 3. Okay, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, as according to the promise. What is this saying? The sacrifice of Jesus, faith in Christ, levels everything. There shouldn't be any fight about I'm this, I'm that, I'm a woman, I'm a man, I'm this. You don't have to look down on anybody. In the kingdom of God, by faith in Christ, we are one. We are all of us have been created in the image of God. And so what God expects of us is that we respect people, not based on the gender or based on the class or based on whether they are wealthy or not, based on whether they're educated or not. No, we respect people based on the fact that they are created in the image of God. They are sons and daughters of God. And fundamentally, they have their faith in Christ. See, so those who have faith in Christ, we are not just going to live with them here on this earth, but in the world to come. We will live with them forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So if there's a believer sitting by you and you don't like the believer, please start liking the person because you are going to live with him forever. Amen. Amen. Are you happy you came to church? Yes. Cool. I like that. So it provides a mindset. Okay, and that Christ-like mindset too. And the first one is the mindset of respect for all. Wow. 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 No, don't let me go there. I won't go there. So somebody comes to me, but I won't go there. Number two. It provides not just the Christ-like mindset. The first one is the mind of respect for all in Christ. The second one is that it provides the mind of unity and not division. The mind of unity and not division. Look, in Christ, we are one. If we believe in Christ and we stay as one, listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. Watch me very carefully. Hear my heart very carefully. Hear me. Jesus spent the whole of John chapter 17 praying for the disciples, praying for the world, praying for the church, that we will be one as he and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one. Listen to me. The devil knows that you and your husband and your children, when you agree to be one and stand in one and have one focus, nothing can stop you. The devil knows. So he will do everything to divide you. He will use little things. Oh, money, small money. What is money? Small money. Charge money. This money to bring dissonance. You will never be one. Can you imagine? Look at it. The same thing. Church. If church members, if all of us are one, can you imagine if we agree on everything and agree and we are one? Even if all of us are paying $1, and we are faithful and say, okay, every week, everybody will pay $1, and all of us like $200, and we put them together. Can you imagine what we can do? Just look at the churches, all the churches in Toronto, Methodist, Anglican, Presby, Baptist, whatever, all the churches, Assemblies of God, whatever. Can you imagine if all of us agree on a common ground and say, look, we are one, we want to bring a change in this city or in the GTA. Can you imagine what we can do? Don't let me go there to the other churches. Let me come down. Like even just the Assemblies of God churches, like Living Word, Evangel, Lighthouse, and Transformation, Everlasting Gospel. If we agree and say, look, every week we will just visit the homeless or do something for the homeless or do something. Like, can you imagine what we can do? The kind of homeless we can touch. Listen, there is a power in unity. We can't continue to be going back. We can't continue to be always going back, retrogressing because of little things. Now, if you want to have the power to overcome that, it is in the gospel. It is in Christ. What is done is that he's leveling. So look at what the Bible says. It says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus. Okay? I appeal to you, brother, by the name of our Lord Jesus, that all of you agree. All of you agree. Thank you so much, Deacon Prince. All of you agree. Okay, I think right now what I need to do, we are going high tech, so I'll start preaching with my phone. Is that okay? Yeah. I lower it because I have the PowerPoint on it so that at least we don't have people picking. All right, put your hands together and celebrate the Lord. Let the Lord know. Amen. God is good. All the time. Look at the scripture. He says, I appeal to you. Jesus is appealing. God is appealing to us. The Holy Spirit is appealing to you. A father, husband, a wife, brother, sons, sisters. God is appealing to us. Leaders, board members, deacons. He says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. You see, it's not like when you agree, it means you condone with anything. No. When a person is wrong, he's wrong. But, point out the wrong in love. Are you getting my point? Faith that works by love. So this is what happens. This is the power in the communion. The third one is that the power in the communion, the Christ-like mindset that he produces, is not just respect for all people or unity, okay, and not division for all, but also a mind of humility and servanthood. One of the things that is destroying us and destroying people and destroying pastors and destroying Christians and believers is pride. It's pride and lack of servanthood and service. Jesus came to serve. He says we should serve. I encourage us. Look, we can make a difference in our world. We can make a difference. I'm just looking for a time where I know some of you young people will be so rich that you won't think about what to do with money. But the issue is not money. The issue is your heart and your character. So that when you have the money, it cannot change you. Are you getting my point? Yeah. So look at what it says. It's humility. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, complete my joy. This is Philippians. This is Philippians. The reference in Philippians chapter 2. The Bible says, complete my joy. This is what Jesus is saying. Complete my joy by being of the same mind. Now, Philippians, Paul wrote it. Okay, Philippians chapter 2. Paul wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It says, complete my joy by being the same mind. Listen, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. He says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. No, naturally, all of us are selfish, self-indulgent, self-looking, self-centered. Naturally, that's who we are. Naturally, whether you're a pastor or a pope, naturally, all of us. I'm not talking about you as it is, but naturally. Like, if the thing is coming to me, fine. But if it's going to Rocky, oh, no, no. It's too big. No, are you getting the point? Yeah, or if you go to the King Larry, oh, no, this one is too big. Let's cut it. But if it's coming to me, there is enough. No, it's small. Add more. You see how we are? Like, when we are little kids, when we are children, and they'll give you beaufruit. You know, Canadians, you know beaufruit? How do you call it in Canada, beaufruit? Like donut, yeah. Krispy Kreme. You guys know, do you have Krispy Kreme here in Canada? What is common here? No, Tim Hortons. Yeah, Tim Hortons will be common. That Tim Hortons, the donut, like the breakfast one. You know, once you get it, if you drive through and then you get it, and if you are sitting with your friend, and your friend says, can I have a bite? You should have told me to order one for you. Why did you do it? Is that not what you say? Yeah, I mean, if you knew you were hungry, you should have told me, so I would have bought one for you, but not mine. Like, why do you want to share mine with me? Like, what's up? You know, I'm not talking about you guys. I'm just talking about myself. Like, so it's not you. So don't feel bad, okay? I know you guys are not like that. You are not like that. You guys, you love like Christ. That is why I'm encouraging you. Look at what the Bible says. It says, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. It says, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Look, the communion goes beyond just bread and wine. It speaks to us, and these are some other things, gives us a Christ-like mindset, okay? It says, though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, right? Being born in the likeness of men. Come on, some of you will get it later on. And being found in human form, this is my best scripture. This is my, I have a lot of scripture, but this one is my key verse. This one, verse 8, it says, and being found in a human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Look at the key. When Jesus, who was equal with God, the moment Jesus opened the mouth and opened his eyes and realized that he was here on this earth as human, he humbled himself under God. So he would walk in continuous obedience to God. Because it is in your obedience to God that will bring exaltation. Listen to me very carefully. No matter how high God lifts you, no matter how blessed you become, no matter how financially wealthy you become, always remember that you are still a human being. You are still a man that needs to humble yourself under God. Because where God wants to take you, you haven't seen it yet. The blessings God wants to bring your way, you haven't seen anything. Now you have one house. Wait. God wants you to have 12 houses. Yeah, it's possible. You have 10, God wants you to have 20. You have 100, God wants you to have 200. So whatever character, whatever humility, whatever mindset you need to hold to get you there, cultivate it. Don't let those things begin to talk to you. So you start talking to people like with no respect. Are you guys still loving like Christ? Okay, that's good. So those are the things. That's the power in the communion. Those are the things that helps us do. So respect. Now, naturally as human beings, we are not wired to be respected. No. I wanted to say especially women, but... No. Listen. And men too. Okay, let me turn it around so I'll balance it. So at least nobody will fight with me. Women, it is not women's natural DNA to respect. It's not their natural DNA. Men, it is not our natural DNA to love. It is not our natural DNA. That is the reason why both of us, men, women, the reason why we cannot live our lives, a life that God wants us to live, that is respect and then love. We cannot live it outside God. That's the reason why we need God to help us live. The Bible says, I do not know how to love. Me, Pastor DeGraff, I don't know how to love. But the Spirit of God shares abroad the love of God in my heart. So if I disconnect myself from God, from Christ, from the Spirit of God, you will see what I can do. No. I'll be worse. Like, you can't just imagine what I can do. The same thing. You too, don't disconnect yourself from God. Don't disconnect yourself from Christ. Don't think that you can live without Him. If you try it, you will see. We will be more than demon incarnate. We won't forgive anybody. We won't let anything go. We can't. No, can you imagine? Do you guys still love me? Yeah. Am I communicating God's mind? This is Christ-like living. So let's come to the communion so we will go. Because look at, it's not just the power of the communion, but the reasons. The reasons. Three reasons. Number one, He wants us, the reason why we come to the communion is to remember. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, 24, 25, the Bible says, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. You see, so anytime you come to the reason why you have to come is so you remember Him. You remember that Jesus came. Jesus came and died for you. Jesus left everything. He paid the price for you. Jesus came and then He died. Okay, He died. He was arrested. He was crucified. He was killed. And then even in the grave, they thought that was the end. But He rose. And then you know what He did? When He rose, He ascended up high. And the Bible says Jesus is standing at the right hand of the Father. And all He's doing is interceding for you. Look, there's hope for you. There's hope. There is hope for us. That is why when it comes to some of the things that is happening, this mask will pass away. 100 years ago, many things happened. They also used masks. I don't know. That time, they were not developed to develop vaccines. So they didn't use vaccines. So a lot of people died. Over 50 million people died. But whatever, masks and other things and hygiene and taking care of themselves helped them protect others. But at the right time, they left it. Once everything was done, they moved on. The world has gone through a lot of seasons. When I was growing up, there was measles, there was smallpox, there was polio. Like all those things came and we were vaccinated against some of those. I remember my mother took us to a hospital. I remember they would take us and you'd be crying and they'll tell you, open your mouth. And they put a thing in the car and then we went through all those things. No, listen. Don't let anybody deceive you and let you know that some of what has happened hasn't happened before and this is 666. Listen, the just shall live by his faith. Amen. Don't let the variants, don't let the virus, don't let the vaccine stop you from loving God, from keeping your faith, from advancing, from progressing, from waking up, from going to work, from doing your business. Continue, live your life. There are so many things killing people. Car accident, plane crash, so many things. Other diseases are killing people. Look, it is God who has permitted you to be alive. If your time is not up, nobody, no witch, no wizard, no principality can take you out of this life. Keep your faith in Him. Lift up your right hand and shout, God, I thank you, Jesus, for loving me. So He says, listen, the communion should help you, empower you to remember what He has done. He intentionally chose to establish the Lord's Supper during the celebration of the Passover. The Passover was instituted by God to be a memorial of His deliverance of the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. So listen, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper as a memorial of the deliverance from sin. He will give to those who trust in Him. Sin has no power over you. Amen. Communion reminds you that sin has no power. Whether it is whatever they can call it. And I keep on saying it. Boldly and confidently. We thank God for the leadership that we have. But leaders can legislate something. But if it's against God's word, it is against God's word. Period. Are you getting my point? Sin is sin. I mean, we won't condemn anybody. We won't fight with anybody. We won't hold placards, walk on the street, challenging anybody. We won't. But we will live for God. Period. Some of you don't like that. We pray for the persecuted church. We are not being persecuted. We have to thank God. Yeah. So thank God and live for Jesus. Amen. You tell somebody about Jesus and the person says no. Leave the person and go your way. Yeah. Don't go and say, why are you not accepting? And then fight with the person at the workplace. Then we see the Christian fighting with the unbeliever. And then they lay all of you off. And then your supervisor will call me, Pastor, your member was fighting at work. And they laid him off. I will also lay you off in church. Okay, can I lay people off in church? I have to find out whether Jesus lays some people off. No. You know the way Jesus lays people off? Will you also go? You know what he said? Will you also go? Like Jesus would give you the message and say, look, I am the resurrection and the life. Unless you take my body, my flesh, and eat it, you cannot have life. And people are like, what? Is he a cannibal? What is he saying? Okay, but Jesus said, so when he said those things, all the people went. It's the communion service. All the people left. And then he turned to the disciples and said, look, will you also go? And then Peter said, oh, Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Come on. It's the words of eternal life. Okay, so communion service reminds us of the sacrifice of Jesus. That is not the only thing. Communion service, the reason is to remember, okay, the sacrifice that Jesus offered. And then again, to remind us, to place us at a place to expect his return. So the communion reminds you, but the communion also brings you to a place where you expect his coming. Listen. This world is not our home. We are just passing through. Even if Jesus doesn't come in our time, we will die. Look, people have lived on this earth, though. People have lived on this earth. There are some people who have lived here 90 years, 100 years, 200 years. At least I remember Billy Graham, like Oral Roberts, Miles Monroe. Wow. Like all these people, they were powerful once upon a time. They are gone. We will also go. So be faithful to God. Expect that there is hope. There is hope for us. So with the words, he says, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. Remember, when you partake of the communion, remind yourself that, look, expect that you will also partake with him. You will drink with him over there one day, sometime. This is not going to be a one-time thing. It will continue. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let that encourage you to stay faithful. Finally, it's not just that, but also to partake. Look at it. More than a time of passive and individual reflection, the communion service. To observe the Lord's Supper is to partake in a congregational act by which we corporately affirm our faith. So today, we are going to affirm our faith. As we gather like this, we are affirming our faith. You are telling your brother, look, I believe in Jesus. I am born again. I am a child of God. I am living like Jesus. I am loving Jesus. I am continuing for Jesus. I will die for Jesus. That's what you are saying. But just by this, God, you are partaking. Okay, and celebrate the completed work of Christ, focusing on our unity. This is it, our oneness, our togetherness, and visibly proclaim to the world that Jesus is the only way of salvation. That is what the communion does. This is the reason why we come to the Lord's Supper. These are the reason why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. So that at least we will remind ourselves of what Jesus did. We will also bring ourselves to the place of expecting that one day he is coming. He will come for us. We will sit with him. We will enjoy with him. We will live with him. So we receive strength and power from that to live for him. And then again, just here in the present. So it doesn't seem like we are just people who are just looking at somewhere, something, one day we'll get, and then here we are nothing, we are useless, we are worthless. No, that's not it. But here we'll be enjoying one another, we'll be loving one another, we'll be forgiving one another, we'll be united, we'll be creating things, we'll be building things for God until we come. Until we go there, whilst we are here, we will occupy until he comes. Are you getting my point? That is what the communion does for all of us. Can I hear amen? So very important. So lastly, I want you to know that partaking involves personal examination. That's the reason why you don't have to just come to the Lord's Supper without examining yourself. The Bible says, let each person examine himself. If these are the reasons, then we just cannot come anyhow. Let's examine our hearts, examine ourselves, okay? So personally, reflectively, look into your heart and ask yourself, how are you standing with God? What is your relationship with God? If you are worshiping with us today, it is a delight and a joy to have you in our service here. And then those of you who are online, particularly all over the world, thank you so much. If you don't know this Jesus, let me submit you. Let me encourage you. Look, let me give you the opportunity to make the decision. And I admonish you to make the decision to receive him as your Lord and personal Savior. Okay, because there's no better way to live There's no better way to live than to live outside Christ. You can't. You can't live outside Christ and then make it. I mean, I'm not talking about making it. Maybe you may make money. You may make those things. But at the end of all those things, you cannot make it to God. Okay? Christianity doesn't make you like just poor or something. No. But it helps you to understand what life really means. Maybe you are wondering, how can you do that? You can do that by simple prayer. Simply looking at your life and asking God to forgive you, repenting of the way you've been living. Maybe you've been living based on your own will and your own ways. But you can tell Jesus and say, Jesus, forgive me for doing that. But today, I turn my will over to you. Take over my will and help me to love as you loved. You can do that. It's a simple prayer. Okay? So pray that prayer. Now, if you pray that prayer, I want you to know that God is heard. All right? God is forgiving you. And God has accepted you into the kingdom. So God richly bless you for making that decision, whether online or here. Let's bow our heads and pray. Welcome into the kingdom of God. Lift up your voice and just thank God and bless the name of the living God for today. Okay, so for those of us who are here as sons, daughters of God, we have heard about the communion. Those who love Jesus, they love those who love God, they love the communion service. Because of the power, because of the reasons. If you have enough strong reasons, remember the price he paid. We expect that one day we will also dine with him. And then we also know, we also fellowship with one another, share in the blessings that God has given to us as a body here. And then deepen our relationship with him as our savior. Whilst we wait for him, we will let the world know that he is the savior of the world. Wow, lift up your voice and pray. Pray of rededication, recommitment, recommit yourself to him, to living and loving like Jesus. Living and loving like Jesus. You know, it's not just thank you so much for supporting Living Word and doing all that and being part of the assemblies of God and being part, but don't let it just stop there, okay? Your allegiance should be, first of all, to Christ, to God, to the scriptures, and then to the local assembly. Lift up your voice and pray and thank God and bless him for his loving kindness towards us today. Jesus' mighty name, King of Kings, we bless you. We honor your name. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Thank you so much. So let's open our eyes. I think all of us have the emblem, right? When you are coming in, they give you. If you don't have an emblem, raise your hand so we'll give you if you want to partake on the communion. Yeah. Okay. So those of us who are part of the first service, you can do another one. That's okay. Okay. Yeah, so enjoy more. So you're having double blessing. Yeah, so do we all have the emblem? If you don't have, raise your hands. They will serve you with an emblem. So let's give ourselves some few minutes. Let's open it up. You know, sometimes if you need help, it's fellowship. So if you need help to open it's two layers. So the top one, you need some very nice fingers. So if somebody's sitting by you with some nice fingers, borrow the fingers and use it to open it. Those of you at home, okay, get your, I know you have gotten yourself ready with your emblem and so on. You know, those of you at home, you can take some big bread because you are home, so you are free to use bread. Father, we commit the bread and then the wine into your hands. We sanctify them with the blood. As we partake of this, Lord, help us to know. Help us to cultivate. Help us to walk with the mindset of Christ, respecting people because of our faith, walking in humility and living in unity in the name of Jesus. Help us, Father, Lord God, as we partake of this, may we always remember what you did for us. May we also live in expectation that one day we will live with you. So never give up in the face of challenges and difficulties. And may we, O Lord, our God, enjoy the fellowship of the saints, of the believers, and our walk with you, proving to the world that Jesus, you are the way. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Can I hear amen? Amen. The Bible says that the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, lifted it up, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them and said, take and eat. This is my body that is broken for you. Shall we all partake of the bread? The Bible says Jesus, that same night before he was betrayed, he took the cup. And like Matthew reports, he says, look, this is the New Testament in my blood that is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Listen, don't tell yourself, don't talk yourself that you have not been forgiven, you are worthless, you are useless, you are, no, by the power in the blood, you are worthy, you are precious. No, if Jesus will put everything down and die for you, you are worthy. Shall we all partake of the cup? Now lift up your voice and thank him for what he has done for you. Thank him for what he has done. Not just that, but the hope you have. Thank him for the hope you have. Okay? You will leave. And then just thank him for the friends, for the family you have here. Amen. For the people who are around you, for the fellowship we have. Just thank him. Don't let us take anything for granted. In the name of Jesus. And then for the life you are going to live, lift up your voice and thank him. Bless him, honor him, and exalt his name. In the precious name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and bless you. Now open your eyes right now. Like you know the incidents that happen so many when we get into the end of the year. So many incidents happening around us. The devil tries to, you know, take people's lives, destroy people's, short-circuit people's lives. But we are grateful that we have him. So I want you to, at this moment, pray and then commit yourself, commit your family, commit your work, commit whatever you need to do from now to the end of the year. Just ask God for his divine intervention over your life in all those areas. Lift up your voice and pray in the name of Jesus. Talk to him, commit into his hands. Your life, your future, your business, your workplace, any plans, any programs, whether you have any travels to do, whatever you need to do, commit it to God. Let the Lord God Almighty take over, take over, take over. Commit your health, commit your life, commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. Ask him to lead, ask him to guide you, ask him to direct you, ask him to sustain, to strengthen, to empower you, ask him to lead you in the name of Jesus. We give you praise and give you glory in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. The devil is a defeated foe. The devil is a defeated foe. We shall live. We shall live. We shall live to declare the glory of God, to let the world know that Jesus is the way, is the truth, and is the light. He is life in the precious name of Jesus. Lift up your voice if you can. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. This short moment, okay? If you don't speak, just talk to God and let the Lord take control. Pray for the young people. Let's pray for the youth. Let's pray for the young adults. Let's pray for the young people. Pray that the hand of God will rest upon their life. Let's pray. Let's pray for God's supernatural intervention over their life. There is an attack over the next generation. An attack over the next generation. Pray in the name of Jesus. Cover them by the power. Let them know that they are worthy. They are trustworthy. They are acceptable to God. They are holy. They are loved by God. Lift up your voice and pray in the name of Jesus. Speak in the name of Jesus. Speak in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and bless you. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Father, we thank you for today. We bless you for reminding us by means of the communion. Any time we come to the communion, we take the communion, whether at home or here at church, wherever we are, help us to always know the Lord, we are loved by you. Your love for us caused you to come here and die. So nobody should talk us into thinking that we are not loved by you. Not even us, not even our sinfulness, not even our wickedness, not even our failures, not even our mistakes. Because God, you look beyond our mistakes and you came and died for us. Help us always to remember the Lord, you are standing at the right hand side of the Father, interceding for us. Lord, we pray and say thank you for what you have done for us. Help us continue to deepen our walk with you and use us, Father, to let the world know that Jesus, you are Lord. By this communion, I pray in the name of Jesus, I come against any work of the enemy, against any member of this church, any deceptive spirit operating, any spirit of destruction, I cancel your hold over the people. And I pray in the name of Jesus that members will be engulfed by your love. They are going out and they are coming in, will be ordered by you. In the name of Jesus, I pray in the name of Jesus. And I come against any sickness, any disease, any form of depression, any disease. Father, Lord God, any heart condition, any kidney condition, any blood condition. By the power in the name of Jesus, we speak. speak forth your healing power in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you, people who seem to be hopeless. Any hopeless situation, I lift up and I turn it into hopefulness. Because Jesus in you is hope. You are our hope. You are our strength. Lord, we thank you and bless you for hearing our prayers today. In Jesus' name, can I hear amen?
Amen.
Put your hands together and celebrate God today. All right. So thank you so much. God will bless you. Continue to pray. All right, continue to pray and keep on praying. Okay, so there are a few announcements, and then we have the announcement. So you come and do the announcement, right? Okay, so the other thing I want you to know is that our brother's wedding is coming on the 20th. Mark your calendar too for the 12th of December. Okay, the 12th of December, Pastor Cheryl, our children's pastor, will be ordained as a reverend minister. Like, she's gone through the process, and now she's going to be ordained. This is history in the making. First time here at Living Word, we'll be ordaining not any other person, but our children's pastor and a woman. So we want the world to know that, you know, we believe that by faith, we are all, God can use anybody. I'm just praying. One of my dreams is to see some of you, one of you respond.